Welcome to LifeRx Podcast, a show about living consciously in all aspects of your life with authenticity and integrity. I'm Eva Patel. Welcome again to the show. Hope you had a wonderful week. Today we're going to be talking about respect. What it is, how to win it, how to lose it, and how to win it back. Our special guest today is Greg Ward. Greg is a polymath, meaning he's done a lot of things in this life and he knows a lot about a lot of things. Greg often says he's lived three lives in his 51 years on Earth. First, he's worked as an award-winning professional actor, director, playwright, and producer, both in New York and London. And in his second life, Greg has been a journalist for BBC and many different British newspapers. And in his last and current life, Greg is an expert consultant, author, and speaker on diversity and inclusion, leadership, and collaboration. He's also the author of the best-selling business book, Bad Behavior, People Problems and Sticky Situations, a toolbook for managers. Respect is also a topic of Greg's next book, which is due out in early 2012. So stay tuned after the short break for my interview with Greg.
Greg?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, and thank you so much for coming to our show. We're so looking forward to chatting. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
My pleasure.
So, respect. How can you define respect for us?
Well, actually, there's two different kinds of respect. The first is what's called recognition respect. This is basically means that you are responding and treating somebody else that you come into contact with as an equal, as a human being deserving of courtesy, of a normal, respectful interaction. So that's called recognition respect. And the second kind of respect is called appraisal respect. This is where we as an individual have made a decision to treat someone or an idea or an institution or an authority with deference and acceptance because we've looked at that individual or we've looked at that idea or institution and decided that it is a valid, that person's valid or the authority is valid of and deserving of our deference and our respect. So let me give you some quick examples of the differences between recognition respect and appraisal respect. Recognition respect goes on all the time. Let's say you are out shopping and you go into a store and the clerk says, "Hello, Eva, how are you?" Or, "Hello, ma'am, welcome to our store. Let me know if I can help you." And they're showing you respect. And in return, you are very likely to treat them with respect and treat them as an equal and not be rude to them or something to that effect. But the opposite occurs. You start to disrespect someone when they behave in a disrespectful manner. So, for example, let's say you're out, Eva, having dinner with your friends, or you and I are having dinner, and at the next table we see a man who is treating the waiter really disrespectfully, being rude, not saying thank you, not saying please, or anything like that, and doing it in a way which is clearly disrespectful of that waiter. Now, Eva, when you see someone behaving like that, what do you think of them in your mind?
Oh, absolutely. I just feel very negatively about them or just feel that they've got lack of self-worth in order to treat another like that.
Right, and you might call them in your mind a jerk, or another word that perhaps we won't say on
air. Yeah, we won't say that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so you have engaged in what's called appraisal respect. You have determined that that rude diner is not deserving of your respect. Now, here's where it gets a little difficult. let's say the next day you go into your offices and that person walks in, that diner walks in and says, hello, I'm going to be, I'd like to interest you in this line of products that I am selling. Now what do you do? How do you treat that person? Will you treat them respectfully or not? Most likely you won't. And so this is the nature of respect. We have recognition respect, and we have what's called appraisal respect. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Now, the other thing that happens also is if we have appraisal respect for authority, for example, Eva. I was with the New York City Police Department for a number of years. And believe it or not, most people have respect for police officers because they consider police to be an important part of civil society. They keep us safe, and they keep the laws, and they keep the peace. But on occasion, we might actually be disrespectful to a cop when he stops us for speeding or making an illegal U-turn, but that doesn't mean we disrespect the police in general. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does.
Terrific.
So why do you think it's so important to have respect and to have it from others as well as for yourself?
Well, it would be very difficult for us to interact with other people if we didn't treat them with respect. Things would get tense and ugly very, very quickly. For example, if you walked into the shop and the shopkeeper said to you, what do you want? Okay, get out of my shop. They're not going to sell anything, and you're not going to buy anything. True? So you may have heard of what's called the golden rule, which is basically do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You've heard that, correct?
Absolutely. That's a law we live by.
Right. And it's a good law, and it's a good rule. But you may not have heard of something called the platinum rule. And the platinum rule... Yeah, it kind of bumps everything up a level. The platinum rule basically says treat others as they wish to be treated, or do unto others as they would have you do unto them. So the example I often use is if we are in another country, and Americans, unfortunately, are notorious for behaving very kind of outwardly, we're loud when we're overseas in other countries. And so I lived in Britain for 5 years, and quite frankly, I used to play a game called Spot the American. And it was pretty easy to play that game because when you're walking around the streets of London or the other cities in the UK, it was pretty easy to spot the American because of the way they were dressed and how loudly they spoke on the tube or on the bus. And generally how they treated other people. We Americans tend to be kind of in-your-face kind of culture. And so if you're overseas and you're behaving that way, generally people don't respect you. However, if you lower your voice, if you create a little more space between you and the other people, and you generally try, for example, when in Paris, I try to speak French. I don't really speak French very well at all. But at least I try. And that shows respect for the Parisians. It shows respect for the French. And so I'm always trying to treat others as they would have me treat them, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah,
so that's why it's so important to have respect in some way or another.
Well, that's really important. And I do believe that it's very important when you go to different cultures, especially like, you know, for someone like me, I do travel to India and Asia, and, you know, their customs and their culture is very different. And I do find myself like trying to fit into the mold of being like them, and not because I want to be like them, but because it's just a sense of respect. If you know, they cover their bodies and they don't walk around, you know, with half naked like some of the people do, I think it's really important that you observe that as well. And I think that's a part of respect. Even the way you dress or the way you act, you're right, it's a part of respect for the culture or the country. So how does one win respect from other people? So how do we kind of like, it's not that you want to win respect, but how do you gain that respect, you know?
Well, generally, you practice recognition respect as much as you possibly can. You treat others as equals as much as you possibly can. I think we're all agreed that the rude diner in the restaurant is really being disrespectful. That waiter, quite frankly, doesn't get paid enough to be disrespected by the diners. And yet it happens quite frequently. So I find that if I treat others as respectfully as I can and treat them as an equal, generally I am respected by them in return. That's generally been my experience throughout my life. Has that been your experience as well?
Well, absolutely. And I also feel that we have to gain the respect. I don't think respect is something that's just given. Just because you have it all, it's not given. I mean, how many people in the workplace don't like the boss because they don't respect anybody? So
right.
You are the boss does not make you have respect with a title. That respect is earned. And that's one of the
and
things.
And that's, you know, I hear that a lot. And people say to me, well, how do I earn someone's respect? And I usually coach them and I say, well, what do other people do to you or for you that earns your respect of them? And most people say, well, they treat me courteously. They say please and thank you. They might hold the door for me. They might not interrupt me when I'm speaking, or they might excuse themselves if they burp or in my presence or sneeze or something like that. People say if people treat me courteously and with respect, then I feel like I have somehow I've got that respect and I've earned it. So I think earning respect is a two-way street. That if you want people to respect you, then you must treat them with respect.
I do agree with that. And I think, you know, and I'm not just talking in the workplace, but I'm even talking in the home life, you know, respecting boundaries of family members and also respecting your own boundaries and, you know, gaining them. And you do gain them by, I almost believe that, you know, how we are is what we reflect to the world.
I agree.
And the world reflects back to you is a little bit of what you need to change within yourself. And so I mean, thank God, I very rarely come across extremely rude people. I come across really genuinely nice people. I mean, I meet humble, very bright, smart people who have a lot of self-respect and respect for others. And I think it's just a reflection of what I put out there. Anything that anybody ever says, and you need to kind of like change that within yourself and you'll never attract it again.
Well, unfortunately now, we live in a culture where people can engage in what I call drive-by hate. And that means going on a website such as Huffington Post or New York Times or any of the big news sites and where they have a comment section and just plugging in some kind of disrespectful, attitudinal, name-calling, just complete attacks on other people in a way that is extremely disrespectful. And people do this online because it's really easy to do, and people feel that they're anonymous when they do this. But they would never do this in public. They would never treat other people and say these things face-to-face with people they're talking about. But they do it online, and it becomes a kind of way of being which can, on occasion, bleed over into the way they behave in general. And you'll see this on the talking heads on television news. You see this all the time, is this general kind of disrespect, people shouting and screaming at each other. And we as a culture have lost to a certain degree, we've lost the courteous behavior. And I'm not at all saying we need to go back. What I'm saying is we need to reclaim the kinds of behavior which are respectful of other people, because frankly, we'll get along better, things will happen better if people treat each other with more courtesy and respect.
I absolutely agree with that. That's a very important point that you just made there, that, you know, we truly do have to take accountability and responsibility for what we say, not only in person to a person, but also what we're saying on the internet. To me, even whether you're blogging, whether you're sending an email, it doesn't take much to be kind and courteous. And that, to me, that's common courtesy as well, you know, to have a little bit of common courtesy with who you're interacting with. So even if it's done via the internet, you're still, it's almost like when you're driving, for me, you know, like on the freeway. And, you know, occasionally we do see road ragers. I mean, I pretty much occasionally come across people that are just really raging. I mean, first and foremost, they're breaking the speed limits. But secondly, they're just rude drivers. And, you know, in the past, it used to, like, drive me crazy. Now, I actually send love to them because, oh, my God, how disgruntled can you be to be like that? So I just send love and light to them, and I just carry on. But, it, you know it took me a long time to get to where I am, and it could really ruin somebody's day. And so have common courtesy, whether you're driving, whether you're on the internet. So do you agree that it needs to become a part, you need to implement this respecting in every aspect of your life?
I was very much like you for years and years and years. Because I had so much stress and, quite frankly, anger in my own life, that would sometimes carry over in my behavior out in the world. And so I was at one time a very aggressive driver. I'll admit that on occasion I will be the same. And I don't mean others' disrespect. I just wanted to get out of my way. And that's a problem that I need to own. And I've learned a little bit more to take a deep breath and to own my behavior more, and if possible, to apologize for it and so on. When it comes to other people treating me with disrespect, I used to be very quick to give it right back. If someone treated me disrespectfully, bang, I would be right on them, and I'd say, how dare you, and call them all sorts of names. And you know what? That didn't get me anywhere, and it just left me in a terrible, foul mood. So what I have learned to do is I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I try to say, if someone cuts me off on the freeway, I'll try to say, okay, that I really didn't like the fact that they cut me off, but maybe something's going on that either, A, they're not paying attention, which is not a good thing, or B, something urgent has happened. A friend of mine just 2 days ago was in a very, very bad car accident, and he had to go to the hospital. And I said, what happened? He said, the other guy just wasn't paying attention. He didn't mean to hit me. He just was distracted. And so my friend, although seriously injured, wasn't angry and disrespectful and say, what a frickin', you know, all sorts of names about the person who hit him. He owned, the other person who hit him owned that he was distracted, told the police that, you know, is willing to take his punishment for what had happened. So that's, you know, I hope that more and more of us can at least try to develop that capacity to give each other the benefit of the doubt before we jump into disrespect mode. I'm not saying it's easy. It takes a lot of patience and a lot of maturity to do that. But I think it's vital if we are to get things done together.
Yeah, and I feel that it's very, very important that we don't play that tit-for-tat game and you know, get into that, that if somebody's done this, I'm going to go do it back, and I'm going to go do it back bigger and better. It's just not worth it. You know, if somebody wants to throw venom around, there's no need for you to drink it, and there's no need for you to take it. That's their venom.
Right.
Go back to them. You just move into this space of self-respect. And then when you have enough self-respect, you don't have to get caught up in their negative unrespect for themselves. So I think that's true.
So
on that note, how do we lose respect for other people, and how do other people lose respect for us? You know, what goes on there?
Well, generally what happens, we lose respect for other people when they treat us in a manner that we consider to be disrespectful. And here's where the golden rule kind of falls a bit short. The golden rule says treat others as you would have do unto others as they would do unto you. Well, the way you want to be done unto, Eva, may be different from the way I want to be done unto. For a classic example is the use of foul language, for example. Some people are very comfortable with foul language. I happen to, on occasion, be comfortable with it. And what I will tend to forget on occasion is that other people may not be comfortable with it at all. And if I use it in their presence, they are going to disrespect me. So I need to be mindful of the platinum rule when I'm feeling like I need to use foul language. And the platinum rule says, do unto others as they would have you do unto them. And so basically, if I know that someone is uncomfortable with foul language, I'm going to do my utmost not to use it around them. So I'm showing respect for what it is that they value. It's the same when we talk about religious differences, for example. I'm of a certain persuasion, but I'm not going to disrespect your religion just because mine is different. Does that make sense?
That's a very good one because, yes, I do feel that, you know, that segregation there amongst religion, races, or whatever cultures is there. I think it's very important that we respect the other for what they believe in because, you know, one is not better than the other. We're really all one at the end of it. So
right.
Just having that respect for them would be very important.
Well, the problem is, Eva, you may say we really are all one and no one is better than anybody else, but there are plenty of people out there who disagree. There are plenty of people out there who think that they are better than others. You know, the history of civilization can be traced to intolerance and hatred and disrespect for other groups. One could argue that our current political acrimony in this country, for example, is based on one group or another thinking that they're better than the other and that they have the right way to do things and the other is flat out wrong and is not deserving of consideration or respect. And this leads to a wholesale breakdown into any kind of working together to solve our national problems. So if you want to win others' respect, then you've got to treat them with respect, even though you may absolutely disagree with the things that they hold with respect. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And to get back with, you know, the oneness, the day we're segregated is the day that we have different supplies of oxygen. You know, we're all breathing the same air out there. So, of course, at one level, you know, on a higher consciousness, we are all one. But, yes, you're right on this very low vibration. Here we are segregating ourselves and thinking we're better, or, as you said, politically or even spiritually in religion, we're segregating ourselves and not allowing ourselves to move to higher vibrations to realize that we are one, and these disagreements and disrespects for other people really do affect you in a very deep, powerful way.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we are in a period of a high level of I would call it public disrespect, more so than we ever have been in the past. It's certainly in the United States. There's just an enormous amount of public disrespect going on, more so than ever before. I'm concerned we're not going to win it back. I don't quite know how to win it back.
Interesting. Now, do you feel that the internet plays a big role here? That, you know, it's so easy to just voice what you want and stay anonymous and just put out.
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it does. And I think when we look at, if you know, I'm in my 50s. And when I was growing up, there were very few news programs where people came on and expressed their opinions. I think Meet the Press and, 60 Minutes and maybe a couple of others was all I had growing up. Now you have at least 4, if not 5, 24/7 cable news stations where people get on there and express their opinion in no uncertain terms and constantly about everything. And so there's this ongoing chatter in our culture where people are being openly disrespectful of each other, both on television, on the internet, and you're seeing it bleed over into our everyday behaviors. And so I think the media and technology have enabled us to be more disrespectful than ever before.
Yes, and I'm finding that there's even amongst the younger generation, there's a lot of, whether they call it social media, Twittering or emailing, to just spread more gossip. And so there's no quiet time. What I'm getting is there's a tremendous amount of noise, and the noise tends to be negative. And so people are not really spent. And do you feel part of self-respect is to take a little time out for yourself and have that emptiness and so you almost let go of what needs to be yours? Otherwise, you're just carting all this stuff around, and then you're ready to project it onto the first person that comes along.
I meditate. I practice TM. And if I didn't, I don't know if I'd be alive.
Yeah, exactly. So I do believe that, you know, again, it goes back to you know, what we believe at LifeRx, and that's, you know, to raise your consciousness and to empty the garbage can occasionally, you know, and that's of all the stuff that you've gathered. And then the chances of you not projecting all that disrespect out to other people is going to be a lot easier. So,
well, I think we need to practice. We need to practice being respectful. And by practicing it in little ways, you can actually get better at it in big ways. So when I go into a shop, for example, or a store, I will treat the clerks and I treat the staff as respectfully as I possibly can. Hello, how are you today? Thank you for helping me. I treat them as respectfully as I possibly can. And usually what happens is they have an enormous amount of respect for me. Usually we have a terrific interaction, and I come out of that shop feeling terrific. Even if I bought nothing, I come out feeling even better than when I went in.
And again, to me, that's common courtesy and very powerfully used. And there's small little things that do make – and I think even, again, you know, at work, it doesn't take a lot to be kind and nice to a coworker. And the same at home, you know, it's very nice. Even if people are pushing your buttons at home, it's okay to be respectful of yourself and of the other person.
And at work, if you've lost respect for someone at work, it's usually because they treated you with disrespect. And it's very hard for them to win your respect back. Now, if people often say to me, well, how do I win the respect back? And I have found there's really only one way. You must go to the person who you believe has lost respect for you, and you must find a way to own your stuff. You have to say something to the effect of, at some point I did or said something that may have offended you, or if you know what it is, then you need to say out loud to that person, you know what, I did this. And I apologize, make no excuses, don't qualify the apology, simply say, I should not have done that, I did it, I apologize, I've lost your respect, I'd like to win that respect back, and I hope I will be able to do that. And you know what? What I have found over the many years I've been doing this work, that people, if they truly own their stuff, there's another word for stuff, which I can't say, but they own their stuff, in a very humble and forthright manner, most people are very forgiving, and they will ramp back up their respect for you if you own your stuff and apologize. So that's my parting word on all of this. If you want to win back somebody's respect, then own your stuff and apologize without clarification or qualification.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think that's a very important piece for our listeners to get, and I think it'll just make the world a better place. And I can't believe how
it
flew by. And so is there one last thing that you want to talk about respect and you know, what the people could come away with today and what it is?
You know, the Beatles have a song where the final lines are, and in the end, the love you get is equal to the love you give. And I think it's exactly the same with respect. If you treat other people with respect, you will get it back.
And that's the best way to gain it and earn it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if you don't even know the person, treat them with respect. Usually they'll come right back at you with that same respect.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on our show.
And my pleasure.
I know you've got a book coming out next year, so could you just quickly, before we end, tell us about the book?
Yes. The book is called The Respect Factor, and the subtitle is The Key to the Collaborative Workplace. As you mentioned, I am a consultant and trainer in the workplace on primarily what are called human resources issues. And over the many years I've been doing this work, I've always come back to the concept of respect and how important it is for people to have it for each other in order to be successful in working together. And we now have a much more collaborative workplace than ever before. Competition is good, but actually collaboration is better. And so it's very hard to collaborate with someone if you don't respect them. So that's what The Respect Factor, The Key to the Collaborative Workplace, is all about. It will be coming out in January of 2012, and it will be available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, as an ebook, as an audiobook, you name it. It'll be available in whatever format you can find.
And is there a website that the listeners could go to prior to?
Right now they can go to my speaker's website. It's called TheRespectFactor.com. TheRespectFactor.com, and that site tells you a little bit more about me, and you can pre-order the book there, and drop me an email, tell me how things are going. Generally, as I said, I work in the workplace, so tell me how things are going at your workplace, and I'll also be happy to perhaps provide a little coaching or assistance over the internet if you'd like it.
Oh, and thank you so much. And we'll also have that information on our liferxpodcast.com site as well. So thank you very, very much, Greg. It was wonderful talking to you, and thank you for enlightening us with respect.
Thank you so much, Eva. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'd like to thank my special guest, Greg Ward. Thank you again, Greg, for coming to the show and chatting with me. And don't forget, you can give us a call or send an email at liferxpodcast@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 415-322-8777. We need your feedback, and we'd love to share your emails and voicemails on the show, so don't be shy and let us know what you think. And thank you for all of those who have left us wonderful messages. We greatly appreciate it, and we're really happy that you guys are enjoying the show. So thanks again, and stay tuned to the next show, because we'll have even more for you next week. Have a lovely week. Thank you, and namaste.